I thank God for all of you. I think it that all of you here are saved, and that you are fully aware why God has saved you. God saved you and me not because we were better than others, nor was it because we have done so much good deeds that God had no choice but to give us a place in heaven. If we are honest with ourselves, really, if we are honest with ourselves, we should, in fact, be judged by God. For we have all rebelled and sinned against God in thoughts, words, and actions. The Bible is very clear that the wages of sin is death. And that is to say, because of sin, we were separated from God. If it is not for the Lord Jesus Christ, today we will still remain as enemies of God and facing the impending judgment of God for and a sure place in hell, which is going to be permanent. It's not going to be for 10 years, 100 years, but for eternity. But we thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, today we have to ask ourselves this important question. Why did God save us? Why did God save us? May I say this humbly to all of you, it is because He loves us. The Bible goes on to tell us that we are loved by God even before He created the whole universe. God had our names written in the book of life. And when Jesus Christ, Son of God, left heaven's glory and came to this earth more than 2,000 years ago to suffer and die on the cross for our sins, His death satisfied the wrath of God against our sin. Through Jesus' precious blood, we are saved. His rising from the dead, that is Jesus' resurrection, reminds us today that Jesus is not only the Savior of our souls, but He is also the Lord of our lives. Many people who claim to be believers fail to understand this. They just want to be saved from the judgment of God and eternal hellfire. And so, when pray to receive the Lord, they thought that everything is okay. My brethren, the reason why God saved us is not only to deliver us out of hellfire, but also that from henceforth, we are no more to live for self, but for Him, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul makes these truths very clear to us when he says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5 that God has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of will. God is serious that after he has saved us, we are not to go back to our old sinful lifestyle, but that we are to shine for him as salt of the earth and light of the world. Brethren, we are to love God. In gratitude to Jesus for all that he had done to save us, we should give lifetime attention to how we conduct ourselves as Christians. Wherever we are, whether at home, in school, at our workplace, and even in the church, we must always to testify to those around us of the goodness and mercies of God. Our life story as ones who believe in Christ will be based on who we are now, our character. Why do you think we should be concerned about our character? What will a godly character accomplish? What are the traits that make up a godly character? Let us proceed to our first question. Why should we be concerned with our character? Does character really matter? Some people might say, character is important, but does it really matter? As long as I can get whatever I want, it doesn't matter. Is that so? Should that be our attitude as a believer in Jesus Christ? If we have studied our Bible well, we would come to the same conclusion that character is tremendously important. It matters a great deal to God. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 that we are to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation among whom we shine as lights in the world. He further says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, for our rejoicing or boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with flashy wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, that is, we have behaved in the world, and more abundantly to you. That was what Paul said to the believers in the church in Corinth. Psalm 119 and verse 1 reminds us, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So, should we be concerned with our character? Absolutely. Our character defines our life. How many of you have been active in witnessing for the Lord? For me, I come across people whom I witness to. And when I talk to them about the gospel, You know what he said to me? Oh, you Christians, you are Christian. You can do whatever you like. And then after that, you go and confess to God and God will forgive your sin. Now, when I heard this statement, it pricked my heart. It caused me to think seriously. Why should this non-Christian say such a word? Probably in their lifetime, they might have encountered some who call themselves believers are not living up to the expectation of what it means to be a believer or a follower of Jesus Christ. St. Augustine of Hippo, when he was a teenager, a youth, he was a rascal. He got himself involved in many vices. And one day, he told his mother, I'm going to Rome. His mother was shaken by his request. Why? Because Rome at the time was known to be a place full of vices. And his mother was so concerned for him. And yet because Augustine kept on pestering her, she had no choice but to give in to her, to his request. But Augustine's mother was a godly woman. She prayed for her son. And it was at Rome that St. Augustine was converted. He returned back to his hometown. One day as he was walking along the street, he heard a familiar voice calling out to him, Augustine, Augustine. He knew who it was. So he hastened his footsteps. He tried to get away from the voice. But the more he hastened his footsteps, the nearer the voice kept near to him. Augustine had no choice. He stood still, turned around, and looked at the person. It was the prostitute that he knew. Augustine, now being a new creature in Jesus Christ, said very firmly to that lady, the old Augustine is dead. Now before you is a new man. It's a new Augustine. How many of you heard about what is going on in Singapore concerning Reverend Kong Hee of the City Harvest Church? How many of you have heard about his case? It grieves us a lot. He and his group has misoperated a huge sum of money. Today, the government is taking them to task. Each of them will have to stand before the judge to answer for what they did to the sum of money they have taken from the church to promote Kong Hee's wife's career as a singer. Sometimes that they deserve to be judged harshly by the judge. We leave it to the Lord. But being a famous man, he has a congregation of maybe around 15,000. And when his case was brought up, his members took up the placards and said, we support Kong Hee no matter what. My brethren, our character defines our life. Whether we are a child of God or not, those around us somehow can sense it. We cannot bluff them. What's more for God? What will a godly character accomplish? This is the next question we have to ask ourselves. A, our godly character gives strength to our words. In verse 11 of 1 Timothy 4, please turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 11, Paul instructs Timothy to preach and teach the word of God to others. These things command and teach. If we are trying to share our faith to others, but our actions contradict our words, may I say, we are wasting our time. We are wasting our words. A Christian was speeding along the highway in Malaysia. I'm not telling story. It is real. I was in the van. He was stopped by a policeman. Instead of admitting he was wrong, he took up a gospel tract and gave it to the policeman, who was a Muslim. My friends, does this kind of evangelistic zeal bring glory or shame to God? Our actions legitimize our words. We need, the Church of Jesus Christ needs people who will legitimize the gospel. You know, often I heard people say this to me, especially so when talking to them about the truth. They will say, "What are you talking about?" In Chinese, Lei Gong Ye Shou. You know what I mean? But if our character measure up to our faith, they will have no way to stop us from faithfully witnessing for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our godly character gives strength to our words. It can make up for inadequacies in other areas of life. And that is the second point that I would like to highlight to you. Paul said to Timothy in our text in 1 Timothy 4 chapter that he is to be an example for other believers in spite of his youth. And so here we must understand, God is not concerned with our ability and our age as he is concerned with our character. Our godly character gives strength to our words. It makes up for inadequacies in our areas of life. And see, our godly character gives others an example to follow. Let us look at our text in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Paul instructed Timothy to be an example of what it means to be a believer. A study once discovered that if both mom and dad attend church regularly, 72% of the children remain faithful in their faith. If only that, 55% remain faithful. If only mom, 15%, 1/5. If neither attended regularly, only 6% remain faithful. The statistics speak for themselves. The example of Christian parents and adults is more important than all the efforts of the church. And so, brethren, all of you who are parents, we need to mark up. If we are really concerned for the soul of our children, we must take the lead. If regardless of how much working hours we put it into the secular world and felt tired on Sunday for the sake of your children, come and worship the Lord. Take the lead. Show to your children that you are serious with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no point to be able to talk to them a lot about the Bible. But if your life does not measure up to what they understand, do you know they might be in their faith? So brothers and sisters in Christ who are parents, we have the responsibility before God and grandparents also. Take the lead. Bear a good testimony for the Lord. Our good godly character gives strength to our words. It can make up for inadequacies in other areas of our life, and it gives others an example to follow. D. Our godly character points others to God. Look at verses 15 and 16 of 1 Timothy 4. Meditate upon these thoughts. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy property may appear to all. Take it unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Ronald Reagan, I'm sure many of you know who he was, the ex-president of America. His attitude after the 1982 attempt on his life made an impression on his daughter, Patty Davis. She said, and listen to what she said. The following day, my father said he knew his physical healing was directly dependent on his ability to forgive. John Hinchcliffe. By showing me that forgiveness is the key to everything, including physical health and healing, gave me an example of Christ-like thinking. What are the traits that make up a godly character? In verse 12 of our text, Paul identifies several traits that should be attended in building a godly character. Number one, we should be an example in word or speech. In Ephesians 4, Paul discusses some of the concerns of proper speech. Verse 25, he tells us that we are not to lie. Christians are not to lie. Let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Our Lord, if we say beyond what we should or should not say, it comes from who? It's come from the devil. So let our speech be yea or name. Verse 29, Paul tells us that we are not to use unwholesome speech, but edifying speech to build others up. And so we should be an example of one who loves the Lord, who seek to build believers up in the most holy faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 31, Paul goes on to say that we are to put aside all bitter speech. Let not grudges be found in our heart. We are to be a forgiving person. Inasmuch as God freely forgives us when we confess our sins to Him, let us also learn to be forgiving. It's not easy. I'm going through ups and downs in the ministry, but I still remind myself, I need to be forgiving. Even if that person who hurt me without any reason refused to come and apologize, let there be forgiveness in my heart. That would, because of that, the Lord has enabled me to carry on in the ministry until today. What are the traits that make up a godly character? Let us be an example in words of speech. Let us also be an example in relation of conduct. Several years ago, at a concert about the Passion Week of Christ, an incident took place. During these scenes about Jesus carrying the cross, a man in the audience heckled the actor who played Jesus. He was throwing out jeers, taunts, and dares. Finally, the actor could no longer tolerate the heckler. He dropped the cross and went over and punched the man. The director was horrified. And after the play, pulled aside and told him in no uncertain terms that he is not to do that again. The next night, the same heckler was back. Again, the same thing happened. The actor playing Jesus had to be restrained. The director called the actor in and gave him an ultimatum of either quitting or keeping his composure. The young actor assured the director he will keep himself under control. The third night, the heckler was present and taunted even stronger than the two previous nights. The actor playing Jesus stood up, gritted his teeth, the heckler, "I will see you right after the resurrection." Is that behavior appropriate? What do you think, my brethren? Paul tells us that as believers, we should be an example in words or speech. We should be an example in our conversation or conduct. And we should be an example in love. Now is the interesting part. What is love? My brethren, what is love? Listen to these definitions made by some kids, small children, who were asked about what is love, and listen to how they express it. Love is when mother got arthritis. She couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Another child said this. When someone loves you the way they say your name is different, you know that your name is safe in their mouth. Whatever people want to talk about us, it's okay. Third expression is, love is when somebody hurts you and you got so mad, but you don't yell at them because you know it would hurt their feelings. Easy? Not easy. Love, mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Robert Redford. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all days. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. I have to learn this. I'm a traditional man. Being Oriental, we are not like the West. But it doesn't mean to say my wife will easily accept what I'm doing. Right? Christians should be an example in word or speech, in conversation or conduct, in love. Indeed, we should also be an example in faith. That's what Paul tells young Timothy and us today. The question we must constantly ask ourselves is, do other people know that Jesus Christ is in first place in my life? Do they know that serving Jesus Christ through His church is a priority in our life? Do they know that we live our life to honor Jesus Christ? As believers in Christ, we should be an example in word or speech, in conversation or conduct, in love, and last but not the least, in purity. The word for purity refers primarily to sexual purity. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament, Potiphar's wife eyed on him and tried to get him into relationship with her, tried as she could. She was not able to get Joseph into it. How many of you remember what Joseph replied to her? This is chapter 39 and verses 8 and 9. What did Joseph say to Potiphar's wife? Listen to what he said. But he, Joseph, refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master worketh not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have he kept back anything from the me, but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" This is very important for all gentlemen. I'm not saying women will not have such kind of idea, particularly for gentlemen. As we get older, we might be tempted to fight for someone younger. Watch out. Today I'm facing this problem. Not that I'm going after a woman, but actually a woman is going after me. I'm not joking. It's been for some 4 years already. And it's happening in the church. What kept me and my family together is because, by the grace of God, I determined to be true to my wife. And I pray that all brothers here who are married, that you likewise be Joseph of old. Each son come to you, you should say this aloud: "How can I sin against God, who loves me, who has given his son to die on the cross for my sin? How can I grieve God?" Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22 to flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. NBA, that is, I'm talking about America basketball. There was a famous player by the name of A.C. Green. He set a marvelous example in this area of purity. When he was single, he was one of the NBA's most eligible bachelors. He finally got married in Los Angeles on April 20th, 2002 to Veronique Green. He then made this speech: "I have waited a while for marriage to take place, but my beautiful wife has been well worth the wait." Veronique responded, saying, "AC is the man I have waited for my whole life. To know that he has been faithful in waiting for me is the best wedding present I could ever imagine." And A.C. Green was asked after his wedding about his life-long vow of purity until marriage. He said, "It was worth the wait." A sermon such as this can bring up guilt issues for those who have failed in areas of character. We all need to be reminded that every one of us have failed in one way or another. Today's sermon should prompt us to make two decisions. One decision is to ask forgiveness from our Lord Jesus Christ for whatever failures that we have committed in not shining for Him, whether at home, in school, at our workplace, church. We should ask the Lord for mercy and forgiveness. No matter how we might have failed in the past, today is a new day. The second decision is to determine to live holy life and be true and faithful to the Lord from today onward. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must live up to our calling as sons and daughters of God, so that others in seeing us will know that we are believers. And by the good deeds we do to them, our Lord in Matthew 5:16, they will glorify our God in heaven. Let us pray. Father, thank you for reminding us the importance of guarding our character. Lord, it is truly by your mercy and grace that you have saved us out of the certainty of hellfire. Now that we are called to be your sons and daughters, may thou grant us the holy determination to want to live up to our calling. Where we have failed you, Lord, be merciful to us. And may your Spirit spirit within us, a spirit that always has you first in our heart and mind, a spirit that always has the desire to want to be a channel of blessings, to want to point others back to you, to build them up in the most holy faith in thyself. Lord, on our part, may you continue to grant us the humility to draw ourselves day and night close to you. For it is only when we come before you in a broken and contrite spirit will we then be able to experience your power in living up to our calling as sons and daughters of God. We ask, O God, that you will work this out for your name's sake. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.